Please can you turn with me to the chapter we read? That's Judges chapter 1. It's Judges chapter 1. And with the help of the Lord, I wish to preach this evening from verse 15. Just to pick up the context, I'll read from verse 11 again. So we read in Judges 1, verse 11. And from thence he, that is Judah, went against the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sepher. And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa my daughter to wife. And Othniel the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Aksa his daughter to wife. And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted from off her ass. And Caleb said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Now I remember hearing a preacher many years ago, and a particular phrase he used stuck in my mind. I can't remember whether he said these words in his sermon or in his prayer, but he referred to people here who are on the stretch for a blessing. That might sound a strange kind of phrase, on the stretch for a blessing. But what he meant, of course, was people who were desiring a blessing for their souls. People who are seeking and longing and praying for a blessing from God. Well, as we consider this verse in Judges 1 this evening, may God use it in all of our hearts to make us all on the stretch for a blessing. Let's begin by thinking about the context in which we read these words. The context is the taking of the Canaanite city of Debir, previously called Kirjath-Sepher, from the Canaanites. And as we read, Caleb offered his daughter Aksa as a wife to the man who took the city. And as it turned out, his nephew Othniel took the city. And so his nephew Othniel married Aksa. Now, of course, that account may seem very strange to us today. Caleb effectively offered his daughter in marriage as a prize to the victorious soldier. And it sounds as though Aksa herself did not really get to choose her husband. And of course, that is not given to us as a model for today. But if we think of what Caleb did, it did ensure that Aksa would end up marrying someone who was courageous and valiant. In Judges 3, we read of how this man Othniel later became a judge of Israel. We read of how the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he was used by God to deliver Israel from Chushan Rishathaim, the king of Mesopotamia, and then he ruled as a judge in Israel for 40 years. And so it seems that God overruled what Caleb did, so that his daughter Aksa ended up with a good and a godly husband. And if we think of how Othniel won his bride, Aksa, it surely provides us with a type or a picture of Jesus Christ. Because Othniel, he won his bride by defeating enemies. And Christ has won his bride, the church, by defeating Satan and all of his hosts on the cross. Well, it's in the context of this marriage between Othniel and Aksa that we have Aksa's request to Caleb in verse 15. The situation seems to have been this. Caleb had already given to his daughter Aksa some land, because Aksa says in the middle of verse 15, "For thou hast given me a south land." But the trouble was, this land was not enough on its own, without water to irrigate it. And so in verse 14, after she marries Othniel, it says, "And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field." She wanted her husband and herself to ask her father for a field, and it's clear from what follows that this was a field with springs of water in it. Now, as we read on in verse 15, we find that, as it turned out, it was Aksa herself who made the request to Caleb. Perhaps Othniel thought that she would have more influence with her father. And so we read of how Aksa got down off her ass, and then her father asked her what she wanted, and then we have the words of our text. And I want to focus this evening on the request made by Aksa in verse 15. She says to her father, "Give me a blessing. Give me a blessing." As we think of these words this evening, I want to draw out 3 points. And the first point is this: we need a blessing. We need a blessing. Aksa felt she needed a blessing. That's clear from her request. Otherwise, she wouldn't have said, "Give me a blessing." And we too stand in need of blessing from God. Now, we can apply this both to matters of providence and also to spiritual matters. So briefly, let's think first of all of the application of our text to our need for providential blessings. Now, it's not wrong to ask God for providential blessings in their right place. It's not wrong to ask God for providential blessings if the thing that we're asking for is something legitimate, and we're not making an idol of it, and we're asking for it in submission to God's will. Let me give some examples. It's not wrong for a Christian who is single and a Christian who's never got married to ask God for a marriage partner. Think of Genesis 24 and of how Abraham's servant prayed his way along as he went to find a wife for Isaac. And then it's not wrong for a Christian couple who haven't yet had children to ask God for the blessing of children. Think of how Hannah prayed for that blessing in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And then more generally, it's not wrong for a Christian to ask God to bless them with the daily provisions that they need. In fact, our Lord himself taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And so there is a right place to pray for providential blessings. At the same time, I do need to add a warning at this point, because we must not make a religion out of just seeking God for material things or for the things of this life. You may have heard of something called the prosperity gospel. And that's what the prosperity gospel does. It encourages people to seek God just for material prosperity. I heard of a prosperity gospel meeting, and the so-called preacher at the front of this meeting, he said to everyone in the audience, "Who here wants to be a millionaire?" Well, lots of people in the audience put their hands up. But there were some people who didn't. And so what did the so-called preacher then do? Well, he then talked to the people who had not put their hand up, and he berated them. And he said, "Where is your faith? Well, those who follow the prosperity gospel have forgotten the words of Jesus in Luke 12, verse 15, where Jesus said, "Beware of covetousness." Far from heeding those words to beware of covetousness, the prosperity gospel takes covetousness and makes a religion out of it. And so we do need that warning. We mustn't make a religion just out of seeking God for the things of this world. And so as we think of our need for a blessing from God, ultimately we need spiritual blessing. The Bible does speak of spiritual blessing. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And it's when we think about our need for spiritual blessing that we may start to realize that our text this evening contains some very powerful imagery. Because what did Aksa ask for? What was the specific blessing that she wanted from Caleb? Well, she says, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water." Now, in the Bible, water is used to symbolize the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus himself told us that, made this clear to us. Let me read it to you. This is in John chapter 7. In verse 37 to 39, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.'" But what are these rivers of living water that Jesus was speaking about? Well, the next verse tells us. It goes on to say, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And so you can see there very clearly that water is sometimes used in the Bible as something that symbolizes the Holy Spirit. And as we think of our need of the water of the Holy Spirit, I want you to notice in our text this evening that Aksa had been given a south land. It says, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land." Now, the Hebrew word that is translated south here, it has the implication that this land was parched and dry. Now, you know what it's like when there's not been much rain for a while. The lawns become yellow and parched. Well, the land that Aksa had been given, this south land, was like that. It was parched. It needed water. Without water to irrigate it, there would be no life. Attempts at agriculture would fail. There would be no harvest. There would be no fruit from that land. And that parched south land, it gives us a picture of what our souls are like without the blessing of the Holy Spirit. We may have the outward means of grace. We do have them. We have a faithful translation of the Bible in our own language. We have a faithful church and ministry. But without the water of the Holy Spirit, there's no spiritual life and no spiritual fruit. Well, let's think about how this applies to different kinds of people. Firstly, there's an application to the unconverted. Now, there are different kinds of unconverted person, aren't there? Some unconverted people are entirely careless about their souls. They don't give their souls any real thought. And then there are some unconverted people who are concerned about their soul. Perhaps they're aware that they're not right with God. And perhaps they're anxious about death and about judgment. And then there are other unconverted people who have deceived themselves with a false profession of Christianity. We all know people, don't we, who made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and then gave it all up, showing that their profession was never genuine. And so there are different kinds of unconverted person, but in the case of any unconverted person, their soul is dry and parched. All is dead within. If anyone listening this evening is unconverted, you need a blessing from God. You need the blessing of conversion. You need the blessing of salvation. You need the water of the Holy Spirit to bring you to spiritual life and to faith in Christ. Let's think about the application to another kind of person, those who lack assurance of salvation. Perhaps you have some hope that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. You have some hope of salvation through him. But perhaps you often don't feel as sure as you want to feel. Perhaps you often struggle with doubts and fears about your salvation. Perhaps sometimes you end up thinking, am I a real Christian? Am I really a child of God? Well, if that's you, then you too need a blessing from God. You need the blessing of assurance of salvation. You need the water of the Holy Spirit to dispel your doubts and fears and to assure your heart that you are in Christ and saved through him. But then more generally, there is an ongoing need in the life of every believer for spiritual blessing. Now don't get me wrong, every true believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If we're true Christians, we have the Holy Spirit within. But we want to know more of his influence. We want to know more of his gracious work in our souls. Perhaps you are aware this evening that your spiritual life has become dry. Perhaps you look back in your life and you can think of times in the past when you were so much closer to the Lord, so much warmer. Perhaps now you feel that you've become backslidden in your heart. Perhaps the things of everyday life and the things of the world have started to preoccupy you too much. Well, at such times, we need a blessing from God. We need the blessing of spiritual revival in our own souls. We need the water of the Holy Spirit to give us fresh life, fresh spiritual life, to give us fresh discoveries of Jesus Christ, and to make us fruitful Christians. In one way or another, we need spiritual blessing. So what should we do? Well, to answer that question, let us think about our second point this evening. We should pray to God the Father for a blessing. We should pray to God the Father for a blessing. Think of what Axa did when she realized that she needed this blessing of springs of water. She came to her father. Now, we know that her father, Caleb, was a godly man. But nonetheless, he was still a sinner. And therefore, he was an imperfect father. But if we are believers in Jesus Christ, we have a perfect Father in heaven. We have a Father who is infinite in power, in love, in wisdom. You've been going through the attributes of God. We have a Father in heaven who has all those attributes to an infinite degree. We cannot have a better Father to come to with our needs. And what did Aksa do when she came to her father? Well, she asked him for the blessing she needed. And we need to ask God. We need to ask our Father in heaven for the blessing that we need. And look at how she asked for a blessing. Notice that she came humbly and with respect for her father. Notice that at the end of verse 14 it says, she lighted from off her ass. She got down off her animal, and she clearly did that out of respect for her father Caleb. And we need to come humbly and reverently to our Father in heaven. And then notice what Aksa said. She said, give me a blessing. She recognized that it would be a gift, a free gift. She realized that she had not earned anything. She had not done anything which meant she had a right to springs of water from Caleb. She was asking for it as a free gift. And we need to come to God realizing that blessings from him are not something we've earned. They're not something we deserve. They're something that God gives freely by his grace. And notice what else she said. She said, give me a blessing. She asked for it personally for herself. Now it is good to pray for others to be blessed, and there are plenty of other places in Scripture that encourage us to pray for others. But we do need blessing in our own souls as well. We do need true religion in our own hearts. Perhaps we rightly pray at times for revival in the church. And that's a good thing to pray for. I certainly encourage prayer for that. But we also need that in our own souls. Give me a blessing. And notice something else about how Aksa made this request. She asks for these springs of water on the basis of what her father Caleb had already done for her. She says, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And so she reminded Caleb that he'd already given her something. But she explained this was not enough. She needed more. She needed springs of water as well as that south land. And we can come to God and we can ask him for a blessing on the basis of what he's already done for us. Let me give an illustration of this. I'm sure you've all heard of John Newton, the minister who wrote that very well-known hymn, Amazing Grace. He was minister in a small village called Olney in Bedfordshire until he later moved to London. Now, when he was in Olney, because of the growing numbers of people that were coming to a prayer meeting, there was a need for a new building to have their prayer meetings in. And God provided for that need. He gave them a building that was large enough. And to mark the occasion, John Newton wrote one of his hymns. And the hymn begins like this, or at least it has a verse that says this. Great shepherd of thy people here, thy presence now display. As thou hast given a place for prayer, so give us hearts to pray. Well, think about that verse of that hymn. Newton was recognizing what God had already done. He'd given them a building to pray in. But John Newton was saying, Lord, that's not enough. We need more than a building. Give us also hearts to pray. And so we can acknowledge to God what he has already done for us, but tell him that we need more. For example, we can say to the Lord, Thou hast given me Thy word, Thy precious word, but I also need Thy Holy Spirit to bless it to my soul, to open mine eyes to see wondrous things out of Thy law. Or we can say, Thou hast given me a faithful ministry. I also need Thy Spirit to bless that ministry to my soul, so that it comes to my heart with power and with blessing. And so we should ask God the Father for a blessing. But as we think of asking God for a blessing, will God hear our petition? Will He hear us? Well, to answer that question, let's think about our third point. Our third point is this. The Father is willing to give us a blessing. The Father is willing to give us a blessing. How did Caleb respond to this request from Aksum? Did Caleb say to his daughter, Look, daughter, I've already given you south land. You can't expect me to give you more as well. Well, that's not at all how he responded, was it? Look at the end of verse 15. We read, And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Now that word nether, it means lower. So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. Her request was granted. Now how much more will God the Father hear us when we ask Him for a blessing? Think of the words of Christ in Luke 11, verse 13. Christ said, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, think of how Caleb gave Aksa that good gift of the springs. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Well, let's think of how this applies to different types of people. Firstly, let us think of the application to those seeking salvation. If you are seeking salvation, well, you need to know that God is willing to bless you with salvation. God has said in His word, Seek and ye shall find. And then those who struggle with assurance and long to have a stronger assurance, to know for certain that they are saved through Jesus Christ. Well, God is willing to give assurance to His children. Think of it like this. Would a father who's adopted a child into his family, would such an adopted father want the child to be uncertain of their acceptance, to be unsure if the father loved them, to not be sure whether they really belonged in the family? Well, of course, a loving father who adopts a child doesn't want that. He wants the child to know they're loved and accepted and part of the family. And how much more does God want His children to know that they're loved, that they're saved, that they're His children? And so He is willing to give the Holy Spirit to them, in the words of Romans 8:15, as the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And then think of believers longing for spiritual revival in their souls. Well, our Father in heaven, He is willing to give us the Holy Spirit, to revive us, and to give us a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ to our souls through His word. And God is willing to give the Holy Spirit in abundance. Think of Caleb's response to Aksa. at the end of the verse it says, and Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Caleb was generous in his response to Axa's request. You can get the impression from the verse, can't you, that he went beyond what she asked in giving her springs of water. Well, how much more is God willing to give the Holy Spirit in abundance? Let me turn again to John 7, verse 38. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Notice that Jesus didn't say, out of his belly shall flow a small stream of living water. No. And Jesus didn't even say, out of his belly shall flow a river of living water. He didn't even say that. He said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. In Ephesians and in chapter 3, verse 20, we read, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And when God does grant the water of his Holy Spirit, what a difference it makes in our soul. What a difference it makes to our spiritual life. When God grants the water of the Holy Spirit, then the gospel is no longer just words to us. Now it comes with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what happened to the Thessalonians when they believed. In Thessalonians 1 verse 5, Paul writes to them, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Now the gospel is the gospel of Christ. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit to show us the things of Christ. We read this, for example, in John 16, verse 14, where Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit. And he says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And so when the gospel does come to us in the power of the Holy Spirit, we know more of Jesus Christ, the one that the gospel is all about. Perhaps we may be shown more of the wonder of who he is. He is God manifest in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Or perhaps we may be shown more of the preciousness of his blood shed on the cross, that blood which cleanses us from all sin, that blood which washes us clean. Or perhaps we may be shown more of the glory of his resurrection, the glory of the fact that he has risen from the dead and is alive again forevermore. Perhaps we may be shown more of his amazing love for sinners, that love which brought him down to earth to die on Calvary. In the words of a well-known hymn, in one way or another, when the gospel comes to us with power, Christ, Jesus Christ, will be made more precious to our souls. And when the gospel is brought home to us with power, our spiritual life is revived. You can imagine, can't you, Axa and Othniel using water from those springs to irrigate their land. Before, that land was parched south land, but now there's water, now life appears. Now crops start to grow. And it's like that spiritually when God grants us the water of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps before we were struggling in our prayer life, we really found it hard going. And when we tried to pray, we just felt we weren't getting through, and our prayers perhaps have become brief and formal, and we are very quickly up and doing something else. But now, when the water of the Spirit is given, we now find that we've been given a spirit of prayer, and we love to spend time in the presence of God, pouring out our hearts before Him. Perhaps before, we could read our Bible, or we could hear it preached, and it left us unmoved. We didn't really see much in what we'd read. But now that the water of the Holy Spirit has been given, well, the Bible is made precious to us. Our hearts are moved, our hearts are warmed, and we're given glimpses of the Saviour as we read His Word and as we hear preaching of the Word. And then when the water of the Holy Spirit is given, it leads to fruitfulness in our Christian lives. You can imagine, can't you, that as a result of irrigating that south land, Axa and Othniel would no doubt have got some kind of harvest. Now, we don't know what they chose to grow on that land. Perhaps it might have been a harvest of barley or of wheat. Or perhaps they planted fruit trees and had a crop of apples or figs or some other fruit. Or perhaps they planted that land out with vineyards and had a harvest of grapes. But in some way or another, there was fruit. And it's like that spiritually. When God gives us the water of the Holy Spirit to water our parched souls, now there's fruit. There's life and there's fruit. There's the spiritual fruit of increased faith in Jesus Christ. There's the fruit of love to God, the fruit of love to His people, the fruit of joy in the Lord, the fruit of zeal to tell others of the Saviour. What a difference it makes when God gives the water of the Holy Spirit so that the parched land of our souls is now watered. And remember, God is willing to grant this blessing. He is far more willing than ever Caleb was. Remember again the words of Jesus in Luke 11, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, again, think of Caleb giving these springs to Axa, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And so let us each pray to God the Father for a blessing. Surely we can use the words of Axa in our text in prayer to God. And we can say, Father, give me a blessing. Give me the water of thy Holy Spirit to water my parched soul. Amen.
Amen.
Let us now sing our final hymn, which is number 304. Enthroned on high, Almighty Lord, the Holy Ghost send down. Fulfill in us thy faithful word, and all thy mercies crown. Number 304. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen.